coronavirus pandemic has put millions of Americans in financial turmoil due to lost income. Many lenders have offered forbearance options, but what happens when they end? If you were allowed to delay payments to your creditors, those grace periods won't last forever, and some may have already ended. Today, host Rob West explores how to prepare with Neely Simon of Christian Credit Counselors. Then it's your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. Get in line, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. When forbearance ends, next right here on MoneyWise Live. And again, our phone number, Neely Simon taking your calls today. She's with Christian Credit Counselors. She always gets a lot of calls and questions. She's a great guest, 800-525-7000. Rob, Neely is the Director of Strategic Partnerships at Christian Credit Counselors, where they've been helping people, lots of people, cope with the devastating financial impact of COVID-19.
Wow, we're so thankful for our partnership because these folks at Christian Credit Counselors really are doing the Lord's work, walking alongside faithfully so many people. Neely, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Neely, let's talk about that for a moment. You know, you really are on the front lines of the battle against the financial implications of the pandemic. Tell us what it's been like in the trenches.
It's not been easy. There's a lot of us out there who are really feeling vulnerable and uncertain. Some people have lost jobs or were told to come back to their job and then once again that they had to go back home. And so there's a lot of financial uncertainty that's making it really difficult for people to manage. And then there's the emotional sides of things. You know, it's scary for people when you don't know what to expect and when you don't have that peace in your life. So.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. This the fallout that comes from something like this, as you said, the uncertainty, but then also the reality of the real financial implications of all of this. Certainly, there's been an uptick. I'm sure you've seen it. We've started to see it in terms of the debt-related calls into the program, but perhaps not as much as you might expect, and I think in large part that's due to the forbearance programs. Do you expect that will change and that you'll be helping even more people in the days ahead?
So the forbearance programs have offered temporary relief. And in fact, it was interesting in May, our company had a slowdown going on. And I think what's difficult now is that there's so many unknowns. So we believe that people are going to be using their credit cards probably more than ever just to be able to sustain and make their fixed expenses or unexpected expenses. But they haven't sought out help yet. But I feel that when the forbearance programs run out, we're probably going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, no question about it. Obviously, many people have taken advantage of these, but as you said, they were only temporary, always intended to be temporary. So, Neely, what can you tell us about those grace periods coming to an end?
So the mortgage forbearance through the CARES Act was, you know, where people could temporarily suspend their monthly payments for their mortgage, and that usually lasted about 3 months and up to 6 months. Well, those are coming, you know, to an end here. And then similar, the credit card companies allowed people anywhere between 1 to 3 months not to make a payment. Now, keep in mind, they weren't making payments or receiving late fees, but of course, the interest was continuing to incur. And then you have student loan forbearance programs. Those will end as of September 31st. On those programs, people were automatically put on the forbearance program, whether they asked for it or not. So quite a few of these are beginning to run out, and we really need to start looking at what to do next so that we can prepare ourselves and make some good decisions.
Yeah, no question about it. Neely, only about 45 seconds before our first break. We're seeing in Washington lots of conversation about another round of stimulus, perhaps even an extension of some of the extra incentives related to folks who are out of work. Are you aware of any lenders extending forbearance periods?
So I'm not at this time. I think what's important to know and to share with your listeners is that what's important is to take action. find out what your options are, reach out to the creditors, see what they have to offer, review your budget, cut back on unnecessary expenses, and reach out to your support system because you're not alone.
Neely Simon with us today from Christian Credit Counselors. If you'd like to speak to her, call right now.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
When it comes to investing guidance, you want advice grounded in God's Word. That's the approach offered by Sound Mind Investing. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire investing wisdom and confidence. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. A short video webinar on profit and peace of mind is available now at soundmindinvesting.org.
Freedom and liberty are great words to describe our citizenship here in this amazing country. But when you feel tangled up on the inside, freedom can seem like an impossible dream. Problems can overwhelm us to the point that we feel like a prisoner, with our mind racing and struggling to find relief. It can get out of control when we turn to drugs, drinking, or anything else to make that pain go away. But that brings even more pain, and freedom becomes more elusive. There is another way. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. You can have true and lasting freedom through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Get rid of the bonds that keep you from peace and freedom. Learn how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and make this your Independence Day. Call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or click over to chataboutjesus.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian Credit Counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian Credit Counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Good to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And our guest, we're welcoming back Neely Simon from Christian Credit Counselors. If you're having some issues with, well, maybe you're behind on some of your bills, you're having some credit card problems, maybe you're wondering about your credit score during times like this. Well, with the biblical approach, they handle thousands of clients every year. They do it in a fantastic way, and it's called Christian Credit Counselors, and you can call and talk with Neely Simon today. Give her the specifics you might be dealing with, and she can probably hook you up with someone in the office to take your call today. 800-525-7000. We actually have five open lines, so this would be a great time to get in. Neely with us just for the first half of today's program. 800-525-7000.
Neely, just before the break, you were talking about the forbearance programs coming to an end. Obviously, we're going to see an uptick as folks who have been laid off, have been out of work, perhaps have a small business, business is down, maybe their hours have been cut back, where they don't have an emergency fund to allow them to weather the storm. Unfortunately, so many rely on credit cards. With the forbearance options ending, we're going to see an uptick in the number of folks needing some help. There's so much we don't know at this point, both financially in terms of the economy, as well as just the virus itself. So we have to prepare for the worst. What should folks do who are listening to our voices right now if they think their loan or credit card forbearance is ending and they just don't know where to go next?
it's really important to get a handle on your budget, understanding what your income and your fixed expenses are and your disposable income so that you can make some adjustments accordingly and be really intentional about your spending. Certainly at Christian Credit Counselors, we can help you do that. We offer a free consultation to help people that are struggling with credit card debt. We offer a comparison estimate, which will outline what the terms or the APRs would be per creditor, how much we're saving you on the payment, how much in interest, estimated to time to repay, and then what our fee is. And then we also walk you through a budget. We really want our program to be a solid solution for people getting out of debt. So we want to, number one, make sure you can afford it. Two, we want to provide some feedback in terms of creating an emergency savings with the disposable income, or just to determine whether our program is a good fit for someone or not. And if it's not, we want to give you resources and a plan so that there's a takeaway value in every call.
Yeah, well, I so appreciate that, and I'm so grateful that the folks who are helping to walk alongside our listeners and so many around the country are believers, and so they're able to pray with them and encourage them spiritually at the same time. Obviously, one of the keys to this program, Neely, is the arrangements you have with lenders and credit card companies to lower interest rates for clients. Has any of that changed because of the pandemic?
Not really. So some of the creditors were offering some relief in terms of making the monthly payment, but our program is already a hardship program that lowers the payments and the APRs. Our APRs range from 12.5 down to 2%, and they vary per creditor. So as of now, we haven't had any additional relief.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
All right, let's take some calls. They're coming in now, 800-525-7000. Holland, Michigan, WGNB. Mona, thanks for contacting us, and how can we help you?
Yeah, I have a question concerning closing some credit card accounts. We have paid off our credit cards, and we have three of them. And when we first started, the first credit card was in my husband's name, and then when we got married, you were able to have like a joint account. And we've had that one for 37 years. And the other two cards we've not had as long. And so we're just wondering how it would affect a credit report to get rid of a long-term credit card account versus a shorter-term credit card account.
Yeah, very good. Neely, I know you're pretty well versed in the breakdown of how the score is calculated in terms of the percentage toward your repayment history versus the credit history itself, the other factors that go into your credit score. And this is a common question. Once those accounts are paid off, if you have several of them, is there a right sequence? Is there a right period of time over which you close accounts so that you don't adversely affect your credit score? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so certainly when making up the credit score, there's two items that weigh the heaviest. One is the history of payments, which is about 35%. And then the other one is credit utilization, which takes up about 30%. So if you're concerned about closing an account that has high utilization, be aware that there will be some impact, but there won't be as much because you have high utilization relative to the credit limit, and you're not shutting down much available credit. The goal really is, in our eyes, to keep one or two accounts open, or three if you need it, work on getting the balances paid below 30% of the credit limit, and be making on-time payments. That's really the sweet spot for your credit score. Once you go over 30%, you begin to negatively impact your score, and then it's a varying degree up to utilizing 100% of your credit. In regards to closing accounts, if you enroll in a program like ours, keep in mind you may see a dip in the beginning, but then as you pay off accounts, your credit score will improve. So you're going to leave the program with a better score than what you came in with. Now, if you just have accounts that you've paid off and have zero balances, it is a good idea to keep those open if you're not tempted to use them, because it will help your credit score.
Yeah, very good. Mona, thanks so much for your call today. Neely, you've talked a bit about how the credit counseling program works, how debt management works for folks who are overwhelmed by debt. You've mentioned the fact that you help them get on a budget. That's critical as a first step. You evaluate all of their options. You look at the lower interest rates. You make sure that that monthly payment that will be made every month can fit into the budget. And by doing so, that debt will be paid off 80% faster. Give us a bit of a snapshot of some of the results your clients are experiencing.
Sure. So keep in mind that the benefits of the program are that we have pre-negotiated interest rates, terms, and conditions with the creditors. So through our program and service, we lower the payments, we lower the interest rates, and then we consolidate all of the debt into one monthly payment, and we snowball the debt. So you're continuing to make payments to the creditors each month. And then once an account gets paid off, that payment will be applied towards another account to help you get out of debt faster. So through that process, we get you out of debt about 80% faster versus if you were making minimum payments on your own. The accounts, though, that you do enroll, they do get close. So keep that in mind. You're not required to enroll all the accounts, but the ones you do get closed. And as you start paying off accounts within the plan, your credit score is going to improve. So you'll leave with a better score than what you came in with.
And we appreciate that call today. Mona, wish you the very best. We're talking today on MoneyWise Live, not only with Rob West, but with Neely Simon from Christian Credit Counselors. And if you'd like to get in with your call or question. We have some extra lines. We have some extra minutes today. So call right now, 800-525-7000. Neely, typically a client that calls you and with whom you decide you can work, typically how long does that process take? Are we talking 90 days, 6 months, a year and a half? Typically, you know, where does that go?
Sure. So our process can move very quickly. It's all determined on the people that are reaching out and asking for our help. Some of the first steps, we just ask for four basic things: name a creditor, balance, interest rate, minimum payment. With that information, we're able to generate the comparison estimate for someone, and then we call them back, we walk through the estimate, we go through the budget, and then provide them that free analysis. So we share the budget, we share the comparison estimate along with the next steps. So it really enables people to share the program if they have a spouse, to think about it, to pray about it, for them to reflect on their budget. And if they choose to move forward, they send us the documentation and we can get them enrolled in about 5 days. So it can be very quick or it can take longer, depending on the client.
Okay. If someone contacts you and they decide not to pursue a relationship, does the fact that they even contacted you mean that it does something to their credit score?
No, it doesn't. So when people are inquiring with our program, we want to provide them with good information, educate them on the process, and we do not contact the creditors. The creditors are contacted once someone signs an agreement, then we submit proposals on their behalf for the new terms and conditions. So by reaching out and just inquiring and educating yourself on your different options would be a good idea.
All right. Good information. And again, we're talking with Neely Simon today. If you'd like to speak with her yourself, call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live. We'll be right back with more after this very brief break.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
He makes all things work together for good. That together, that S-U-N, is extremely important. I want you to notice something else, too. That wording, all things work together, or in your NIV, works, that word is a present tense verb. And what that means is that one very literal way that might be translated is this. I think I've got this in your notes as well. Present tense meaning are working together. Are working together. Not that they will. Now, some of you are going through some really rotten things right now, and you don't even have to wait for it to start working together. It already is, because that's what God does. He's a present active participle God. All things are already, and in this moment, they already are, Linda. They already are. They don't have to wait to be. Not until they come to maturity. No, they already are. All the way back then, already, the enemy did not get to get, are you listening to me, Evangeline? The enemy didn't get to get 10 minutes. He may have gotten 10 minutes in on me, but he didn't get them in on God. And God's the one working it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Works, present tense, is presently already working it together for good.
We hope something you heard today makes you want to deepen your understanding of God's Word. Another way we can help is to invite you to join Beth online at bethmoore.org. While there, look for this month's special offer from Beth. Go to bethmoore.org. That's bethmoore.org. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hey, we hope you're having a great day, and we really are happy you're out there listening today. 800-525-7000, if we can give you a financial hand up. Rob?
Well, Neely, we've covered a lot of ground today for folks that are really struggling, having a difficult time, wanting to know, frankly, where to turn to get out from under the burden of credit card and other debt they just can't seem to make any progress on. And, you know, so often they're hearing about debt management. They're also hearing about debt settlement. I know there's a clear distinction between the two, and we're very clear here at MoneyWise Live that we don't like debt settlement. It's really replacing your debt with a new loan and often not dealing with the underlying issue is, so often going to create even further challenges. Would you just take a moment and draw the distinction between the two and talk about why you would think debt management is a better option?
Sure. So at Christian Credit Counselors, you're honoring your debt in full. You're continuing to pay the creditors each month, so you stay in good standing with them. And then you don't destroy your credit. As you pay off these accounts, your credit score improves. So it's a much better solution in terms of getting out of debt versus debt settlement. With debt settlement, you don't honor your debt in full. They have you stop paying your creditors, so you destroy your credit. A lot of times they'll settle on one or two of the smaller accounts, but creditors these days are taking people to court after a year of non-payment, and most times it results in a lien on your home. In most states, destroys your credit, is almost as destructive as bankruptcy, and it's not God honoring. So I really caution people to stay away from debt settlement.
Thank you very much. Let's see, Bolingbrook, Illinois. Therese, how are you today?
I'm okay.
How can we help?
Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to.
Well, just very quickly to summarize. I have been going through a spiritual awakening, and it's been just incredible what God has been doing with me over the past couple of weeks. And I have not paid my taxes for a long time. And I felt a sudden, I found the radio station today, which I had never been on before. I've been listening almost all day. This program came on, and I felt moved to to call because I've been carrying this burden with me and this guilt and shame about not having paid bills, which I intentionally chose not to in the past, which is evil and not God-honoring, as you just said. And I owe the government a lot of money. I haven't filed taxes in a long time. It's been eating at me. I know that it's the darkness and that it's something that as I'm moving into the light and getting on my my spiritual path toward God, that it's something that I need to clear up in my life in order to move forward. So that's why I'm calling. I was moved. I mean, I have car payments coming up. I have very little savings. I had cancer. I've been very blessed. I've had a lot of Christian organizations helping me with my bills and angels that have been sent to help me with my bills. So my bills have been paid. I have a little money in the bank thanks to unemployment. But I don't have a job right now.
Yeah, let me jump in just because we're going to hit a break here and I want to be able to answer your question and then we can talk a bit more off air. First of all, let me just say, you know, the most important thing is that you restore your relationship with the Lord, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already, and allow Him to restore your relationship with God the Father as you have a right standing in before Him, as Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And we all have that free gift we can accept. And then from that point, it's about stewardship. What am I doing with what the Lord has given me? And there's nothing that you can't leave at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I want to be found faithful from this point forward. I want to make decisions that are God-honoring, and I want to do the right thing. And that requires that you get into God's Word and you begin to understand all of these principles we talk about on this program. So I think now is the day to really purpose yourself to live for the Lord, including in this area of finances. Back taxes can be taken care of. We can get you on a payment plan. Obviously, the key is to get you working again so you have some income. At that point, we need to develop a budget. We need to engage with your lenders and creditors and begin to discover what's out there and then put a plan in place to get that taken care of. Let me just suggest that you reach out to our MoneyWise coaches. If you go to moneywiselive.org, these are godly folks that would love to come alongside you, pray with you, encourage you. There's no cost, and they'll help you develop a plan, not only for debt repayment, but for budgeting once you have that income in place. Just go to moneywiselive.org and click on Connect with a Coach. And we appreciate your call today. God bless you. Neely, thanks so much for being with us. We're grateful for you and our partnership with Christian Credit Counselors. And we look forward to having you again real soon.
Thanks so much for having me on the show. I just want to share with listeners out there, if you'd like to call.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, I'm Clara, a communications student here with the Moody Bible Institute Verse of the Week. It's found in Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. That's Isaiah 54:10, the Moody Bible Institute Verse of the Week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Your family and your money are two very important subjects. That's why in this month's MoneyWise e-magazine, we're giving your family tips and tools to grow closer to God, closer together, and closer to true financial freedom. Get practical advice to strengthen financial communication in your marriage, infuse more budget-friendly family activities into your week, and a lot more. Your free MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywise.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Isa Isis marches northward, forecast to hit the Carolinas as a minimal hurricane. Authorities in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, have ordered swimmers out of the water to avoid rough surf and strong rip currents. Isa is still a tropical storm with maximum sustained winds of 70 miles per hour, but is expected to strengthen into a Category 1 hurricane late today. The storm centered about 180 miles southwest of Myrtle Beach by this afternoon. U.S. manufacturing showing further improvement in July, with a key gauge of activity rising further into expansion territory. The Institute for Supply Management and Association of Purchasing Managers says that its manufacturing index rose to 54.2 last month. On Wall Street, the Dow had 236 points today. The NASDAQ was up 157. This is SRN News.
Welcome back to MoneyWise Live. Your host, Rob West, and we're taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. It was a real pleasure to have Neely Simon with us from Christian Credit Counselors. And if you'd like to get more information about who they are, what they do, if you want to contact them with help regarding your debt, just contact them online, Christian Credit Counselors, one word, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, sir?
First, thank you so much for your show. It is a fantastic blessing. I listen to it every chance I get.
Thank you, Gary.
Several times I've heard on your program, once you retire, you should roll your 401 over into an IRA. And I've looked into that, and I'm a bit in a unique situation. I had two 401ks. One of them I was letting them manage. The other one I was managing myself and only paying, obviously, the fees for the mutual funds themselves. And after almost 4 years, I'm a little ahead of the one that they were managing and obviously paying a management fee.
Yeah.
So when I looked at rolling over to an IRA, all of them have some amount of management fee, even if I do the portfolio management myself. And I guess the downside of the 401k is I have a very limited group of funds to choose from. And if I go over to the, as what they call it, the retail side, there's a lot more funds to choose for. Do you think that them managing it will actually make up that extra fee I'm going to pay if I roll over to the retail side by converting to an IRA?
Yeah. Well, it's great. They're great questions, Gary. And, you know, this really is something that everybody needs to wrestle with as you transition into that retirement phase of life. You know, my perspective, Gary, is that you build your life throughout your working years. You build wealth. And, you know, you're going to need that to live or to last for the rest of your life as you draw an income from it to provide for your needs. And, you know, to take responsibility for that, if you don't necessarily have the training, the expertise to do that, it's really worth hiring a professional. I would say the same thing would be true about drafting a will or selling your house. You know, there's just, you know, value in wise counsel and expertise and godly wisdom, as well as just the training and know-how that comes with being a financial professional. Now, does that mean you have to go 100% that way? Couldn't keep a portion of it? If this is something you have done, and obviously you have, and you've done well, and you'd enjoy doing with a portion of it, I would say you certainly could. I probably wouldn't take, though, the full amount and take the weight of that responsibility, just because I think I find it's going to be a real kind of burden on you, potentially, something you're always thinking about in the back of your mind, and am I doing the right thing? thing and second guessing, not to mention some of the emotional decisions we can make when we're managing our money versus a professional making, you know, the hard decisions in the midst of a market downturn or something like that. So you're right, though. On the retail side of, what, let's say, Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade, you can basically be fee-free. I mean, in some cases, you'll have a transaction cost, but even then, there's what they call no transaction cost mutual funds. So you could go into a no-load mutual fund that doesn't have a transaction cost, and if you have a high enough balance on the retail side, there's not even an account management fee. So essentially, you could get around all of the expenses, so to speak, by managing that yourself. But to your question, on the managed side of any one of these outfits or going directly with a registered investment advisor or somebody like that, is that going to offset the cost that they're going to charge you to manage that money? And I would say, from my perspective, the peace of mind you'll have, the expertise, the ability to have a portfolio that's tailored to your unique needs in terms of capital preservation and income, the cost that you will pay will far outweigh the benefit that you will receive by doing so. So from my perspective, Gary, I would roll that to an IRA. I would interview several investment advisors. And if you don't have some, I would go to moneywiselive.org, click on find a CKA. And there in Chattanooga, there's a number of them. I'd interview at least three. And with the bulk of your money, I would be most comfortable with you in that position. But again, if you wanted to open a separate IRA and take a smaller amount of money that you wanted to manage yourself because it's something you enjoy and you feel like you have the time to dedicate to it, I'd certainly have no problem with that. And it would be just an interesting and perhaps fun exercise. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate your time and your insights.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Gary. God bless. 800-525-7000. Let's go. Yes, let's go to Nineveh, Indiana. And Sandy, I'm not going to make any comments or jokes. I'm just going to say Sandy's calling from Nineveh. Okay?
Sandy, go right ahead.
Oh, no. Sandy, are you there? Sandy is not there. She must have taken a stroll along the beach or something. Maybe we'll try to get Sandy
in Indiana.
Right. All right. Well, let's stay in Indiana. Indiana, West Lafayette. Hi, Christy. What's your question for Rob West?
Hi. I have a health insurance question. I am 59, and I am a survivor spouse. My husband had insurance, and I think that I could probably join that health insurance group. Okay. I currently have health insurance, but in this atmosphere, I'd kind of like to have a plan in mind in case something would happen to my job. Yeah. So I was just wondering what my options are because I'm not close to 65 for Medicare or anything like that.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Well, a couple of things. Number one is most often these retirement systems will have benefits for surviving spouses. So if it's a retiree of the university, you would often have that option. Secondly, you could go out in the open market and find an individual health care plan, and you would just want to find a health insurance agent, somebody there in Indiana, preferably locally, that could help you understand what those options are. I recognize that with the rising cost of health care, they can be quite pricey. And so you'd want to understand, you know, what a health insurance plan that you would be comfortable with would cost. So you could factor that into your planning for the future. But a third option, Christy, that I would really look into, and you certainly could use it as a primary option or as a backup, and if for some reason you need it down the road, would be medical cost sharing. There's a number of wonderful Christian ministries that do this. We have a relationship and had for many years with Christian Healthcare Ministries. They work with thousands and thousands of Christians all over the country, have paid out literally billions of dollars as Christians share one another's medical bills using their program. And basically, you would come into a healthcare provider, doctor, surgeon, as a self-pay. And after $500 per incident that you would cover out of pocket, they'll cover 100% of it. of it. But the benefit is the cost, the monthly share amount, is so much lower than what you would have with traditional insurance that you can build up essentially an emergency reserve for your medical costs that I think could really cover that first $500 after a period of months, and you could replenish it as needed, and then you're going to be saving quite a bit month to month. So I would begin reading about that, and you'll find more information at chministries.org. But then beyond that, again, you could look for individual coverage, or you could look for survivors' benefits through the retirement system.
Christy, we appreciate your phone call today. Thank you very much. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Dorothy in Akron. She has some credit card questions. Also wants to know where to invest liquid money. Just where do you put it to get maximum return and also some safety? We'll be right back with more MoneyWise after this.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. If you're living in fear, it's time to get over it and start helping others to get out of their fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." The spirit of fear has nothing to do with God or being a Christian. In fact, it's quite the opposite. God's spirit gives you the power to overcome fear. And in so doing, God sets you apart as an example and an attraction to the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is your opportunity to let your light shine in the darkness that's gripping America. The contrast between your peace and the world's terror should be evident to everyone, prompting them to want what you have. It's never been easier to share your faith everywhere, every day. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Have you recently felt like your prayers went unanswered? Like God wasn't even listening? God hears all prayers and may be telling you something that you're simply not hearing. Could there be active sin in your life that He wants to address? Might He be saying no or not now to your request because He has something better? Is it possible that you're praying for your will to be done instead of His? These are all potential reasons, but the real place to start is your relationship with Jesus. We're all sinners in need of forgiveness. That should be our first prayer, seeking forgiveness of our sins and an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is where our relationship with God changes. Have you truly accepted that invitation and prayed for Jesus to be first in your life? If you want to talk about what that means and how to invite Jesus into your heart, then call us at 888-NEED-HIM, or you can go online and chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live, where God's direction for your money, your life, your marriage, and your career all meet together with your phone calls at 800-525-7000, Canton, Ohio. Hello, Beth. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm calling to ask you this. When I was a young wife and mother, I used to listen to Larry Burkett's radio program regularly.
Yes.
And he would always counsel people not to buy brand new cars. But one day I heard him say, unless you have an employee's discount. Well, that stuck in my head because my husband did work for a major automaker. But now I'm 69 years old and a widow, and my 2007 car is starting to need some major repairs. And it's too big for me now that my kids are grown and gone. And so I wondered maybe I should think about buying a new car based on what Larry said. So I'm not buying someone else's problems, and I'll have a new car warranty, and maybe won't have to deal with repairs as I get older because of that warranty. I don't drive that many miles anymore, and so I just wondered if you would agree with Larry's advice or not.
You will always find me agreeing with Larry Burkett's counsel, that's for sure. But before I weigh in on this, Beth, Steve, you obviously were sitting right by Larry as he answered these questions. Is Beth remembering correctly? Does that sound familiar?
Beth is remembering totally correctly, and Larry said that all the time. And I actually remember him saying or mentioning the employee discount as well. But you're driving an older car, that's for sure, and it isn't the worst thing in the world to think about maybe letting that one go and getting something a little newer. Now, I'll let, you know, I don't want to interfere with Rob here, but, you know, I still believe that there's nothing wrong with a 2 or 3 year old car that's in good condition with low miles. But if you have the money to buy a new car and you feel led in that direction, that's not the unpardonable sin either. So, Rob,
well, I completely agree. You know, for most people, Beth, I would say buying a late model, as Steve said, 2 to 3 year old, dependable used car where you have a trustworthy mechanic who's able to look it over before you do, perhaps even a little bit of warranty left where you could extend that if you wanted to, makes a lot of sense because the bulk of the depreciation happens in those first couple of years, and so you can save yourself some money and hopefully finance as little as possible, if at all, and perhaps you're planning to buy for cash, which would be great. So that's my just general recommendation. Now, as Steve said, it's perfectly fine to buy a new car if it fits within your budget. I would say you would always want to keep it for several years to get past that significant depreciation. We did that with our last minivan. We bought it new. We drove it for 230,000 miles and raised all the kids in that car, and it was great. And then went out and bought a new one. And I would add your employee discount makes that new car purchase certainly a bit more attractive. So I could go either way. My preference would be used, late model, dependable. But with that discount, if you want to go new, certainly nothing wrong with that. I would just always start with that budget.
Beth, we're glad you called, and nice to know you've been listening for so long and that Larry had an impact in your life. Yeah. Thank you very much. We're going to try to squeeze in two more here. Akron, Dorothy, what's your situation? Give us the high points, please.
Hi.
Hi, Dorothy.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Sure. So I have kind of a threefold question. The first one is I was just tuning in when your gal was talking about credit cards. And my question is, I have a MasterCard that has no money on it. We use it. We pay it off when it's due every month. And I have a department store card that has nothing on it. I'd like to close it. And I have a furniture store card, and I'd like to close it. Haven't used it at all. Opened it, but never used it. If I close them, how does it affect our credit?
Yeah, it's probably going to have a minimal effect, Dorothy. Number one, it's not going to affect your credit utilization in the sense that as long as you aren't carrying balances on any of these cards, by removing that credit, that portion of your overall credit limit from the equation, by that no longer being available to you, it's not going to raise the overall debt to credit limit ratio because you're not carrying balances. So that really shouldn't be an issue. The only other factor is just if, in fact, the credit scoring formula that would be applied does not take into account history of closed accounts, and in some cases they do, but in the event it doesn't, and there's a number of them out there that don't, that could hurt you a little bit just because you perhaps have an account that you've had for a while that's now not in the equation. But I think that's not a reason to keep an account open that you're not using, simply because even when it's open, if you're not active on it, it can still be compromised, and so you're going to have to keep up with it to make sure nobody uses it fraudulently. And so I'd rather you go ahead and close it and be done with it. I would just say let's try to space it out. So if you're going to close three, perhaps you do that over the next 6 months as opposed to all at once. But any impact on your credit score will bounce right back within a month or two.
Yeah, because the department store said that it would lower my credit score, and I've always paid it off when we've used it. now we don't use it, and we haven't used the other one. I'd like to close them and just keep my MasterCard if we need it.
Yeah.
So thank you for that part. The second part is I have a six-year-old granddaughter that I'm looking to save money for. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, Dorothy, is this money going to be earmarked for any specific purpose, such as college, or do you want it more generally available?
Well, I'm not sure yet. Probably for school. She's 6 years old, so, yeah. You know, I want it to go to some good use, not just to have, to spend
yes.
freely.
Sure. Well, you know, I like the 529 college savings plan, and I would go to savingforcollege.com to evaluate the state plan there in Ohio versus other plans you have access to, just to see which would provide the best performance, depending upon whether or not you get a state tax deduction for contributions to a 529 in your state. I can't recall whether you do in Ohio or not. Now, that money would need to be used for qualified educational expenses. It could be used K-12. It could be used for college. It could even be used to pay off a student loan if she ends up with some of those. And it can be withdrawn on a pro rata basis if she gets scholarship awards. But it won't be able to be used without a penalty and some tax if she uses it for non-college expenses. So if you want to have money saved more generally, I would just put it in an account in your name and then either invest it or put it into a high-yield savings account as opposed to opening like a custodial account or what's often called a UTMA, UGMA. Reason is, if you do that type of account, it's going to become her money at the age of majority in your state, and she can use it for any purpose she wants, including buying a sports car. So if you want a little more control over it, I just, again, either invest it, if we're talking 5 years out or more, in an account in your name, but separate so you can keep track of it, or put it into a savings account. Or if you're willing to go ahead and say it's earmarked for college, I'd open that 529 plan, get the tax-free growth, and then have that money there for qualified educational expenses down the road.
And if your granddaughter decides to buy that sports car, have her call us back in 20 years, and we'll try to talk her out of it. And we're glad you called today. Dorothy, thanks. One more quick one, Miami, Florida. Hey, George, what's on your mind?
How are you doing? I have a son who's 19 years old, guys, and he has a double scholarship. One is paying for his actual school for books and everything, and the other one is going into his bank account, directly deposited by the university.
Wow.
The question is, what do we do with this money? He's 19, but he's already been almost three years in the university. He wants to take a master out, and we don't know. He wants to save it for his master classes, but meanwhile, what do we do with this money?
Yeah. Well, this is a really good problem to have, George. I like this. And by the way, congratulations to your son. He's obviously worked very hard, and I suspect earned these by putting in a lot of hard work. You know, you could put this money in the form of contributions into a 529 savings plan, like we just talked about, and then that money would be there for graduate school. And so, you know, during these next 4 years or however many long he has left, that money could be growing. And then available at that point, or he could just, if it's going to be quicker than that, you know, perhaps in the next 24 months or so, I would say just put it into a high yield savings account where it's safe, earning a little bit of interest. But the key is that you're not taking any risk with it, so that that money is available to be used for more immediate things like that graduate schooling or an apartment and other expenses he might have down the road. So I would say either a savings account, or if you want to get it invested and earmark it for school specifically, that's where a 529 could be a great option for you.
How's that sound, George?
Good advice.
All right,
thank
buddy.
You. God bless you guys.
God bless.
Yes, sir.
Thank
you too.
Rob, when you put money in a 529, where does that money reside? Where does it sit?
Yeah, so each state has a custodian that they've partnered with. Some states might be Charles Schwab. Another state might be TIAA CREF. Another state might be Vanguard. So whichever custodian your state uses for their 529 college savings plan, there's an institution there that is the one where you would actually open the account, and the money would be deposited there, and then you'd be able to go online, check the balances. You'll get monthly statements, all of those types of things.
And is the money relatively safe, totally safe? How is it invested?
Yeah, it would be. The SIPC would be the Securities Investor Protection Corporation would be the oversight for that. It's a nonprofit created by an act of Congress to protect brokerage accounts. And if the brokerage firm fails, the SIPC steps in. And so it's a little different than the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, but acts in a similar way to protect against the loss of cash and securities. Doesn't protect against the downturn of the stock market, but it protects against the loss of cash and securities in the event the brokerage firm collapses.
Okay, good to know. Rob, thanks very much. We'll come back and do it again tomorrow, all right?
All right, Steve, very good.
And if you are wondering who was that guest earlier in the program with great information, that was Neely Simon of Christian Credit Counselors. And again, if you'd like to contact her and this great organization to help you with some debt issues, some credit card issues you might be facing, visit them online, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. My thanks to our technical crew today, Amy, Judy, Jim, and Courtney. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Hope you have a great remainder of your day and join us again tomorrow. We'll be back with a brand new edition.